This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Message from the perspective of the father, the man, the woman, and now it's time from the perspective of the child. You know, the best part of the perspective of the child are there any children here? Thank you. Not just that. Now, one thing about children is that, or one expectation that we have about children is they are to grow, right? So if you still have any expectation of growth in your life, whether it be physically, some of us that may have already passed, whether it be spiritually, mentally, whatever it is, if you have an expectation of growth, you are still a child. You know, the day you stop growing, the day you stop getting better is the day you start dying. All right? So for us all, this message is for you. Does everybody have an expectation for growth this morning? So this message is for you. So a godly family from the perspective of the child. So, for us as children, we have two responsibilities at the end of the day, right? Two responsibilities, and that's what pretty much this message is about. One is to rise above. Somebody say rise above. Talk to your neighbor, say rise above. Talk to the other neighbor, say rise above. Make sure they understand, rise above. The second one I will give you at the end of the message, okay? So, rise above. What are we rising above? I hear somebody ask. Thank you for asking. So what we are rising above, in order for us to find out, we're going to look at a story this morning. There's a story in the Bible that fascinates me so much. You know, of course, all the stories are very fascinating, but the story of David is very peculiar in that in his story, you will find pretty much all examples of life. All right? So we'll look at the story of David. Before we look at the story of David, you know, as children, one thing about children is that when you look at the family, because we're talking about a godly family in the perspective of the child. If you look at a family, right, the husband got to make a choice. The mom got to make a choice. But what choices did the children get to make? None, right? You were born into a family, you had no say. You had no say of who would be your mom, who would be your dad. You had no say of who would be your siblings. You had no say of if you were going to be the first, second, third child. Heck, you had no say if you were going to be a boy or a girl. Right? You just showed up. And then, well, this is life for you, and you start living that life. But the important thing about it is that whichever way you come out, wherever where you came out, where you ended up coming out from, all of that is for a purpose. Amen. Somebody say purpose. All of that is for a purpose. You were born for a purpose. Do we all believe that? So we're all born to fulfill a certain purpose. And I'm coming. We're going to jump into where we rise above. And that journey for fulfilling purpose starts from the day you were born. Okay? That is why you were born, what you are born as. That is why you were born into the family you were born into. The book of Psalm 139, verse 13 says that you formed me. Pull it up, please. Psalm 139, verse 13. So that's the beginning of the journey for us as children, right? From the day we were born. And Psalm 139, verse 13, it says that in my mother's womb you formed me. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Give me New Living Translation. It says, in my mother's womb you formed me. And who is this person? Oh, I love this translation. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. This right here is already good news for most of us. Because guess what? Who is knitting you together? God. God is the one that is putting you together. So as he is putting you together, you know that you're already starting on the right path. Because the person who has the purpose for you, the person who is able to make a way for you, he is the one that puts you together. And guess what? He had to find whose womb to put you together in. Am I right? It wasn't just any random person that he picked. He selectively picked the person to put you together in. And he needs you together in that womb. Why? For the purpose that he has for you. So where you are from, where you were born, all of that ties together in your purpose. Which brings us back to the question. So what exactly are we rising above? We are rising above all the things that we have heard or will hear. We are rising above all the things that we have seen or will see. And we are rising above all the things that we will experience or have experienced, all of which we had no choice or we had no say. Right? You just showed up and then this is how things are for you. Well, you have to make the best out of what you have been presented. Which takes us again to the story of David. Let's look at the book of David. So we're going to look at three major things. All right? Rising above the things that we have experienced, the things that or will experience, the things that we have heard or will hear, and the things that we have seen or will see. We'll look at it from the perspective of David, and then we'll hit the second point, and we'll go home. So let's open to the book of 1 Samuel 16. We'll read from verse 10 to 13. Many of us already know the story of David. Everybody familiar with David? One of the kings of the second king of Israel and over Judah as well. So we know the story of David, the family he was born into. And in his family, he had what? Seven brothers. 1 Samuel 6 from verse 10. All right, it's up. Verse 10 says, in the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But the Lord said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Backtrack a little bit. Not you, I'll backtrack for you in the story. So here, God has selected a king. Remember, we're talking about purpose, and we're talking about a godly family. And we established at the beginning that a godly family, from your perspective, since you had no choice in it, from the perspective of a child, you now have a duty to rise above. So in this story, we see that God has picked a king. God told Saul, the king is going to come from this family, the family of Jesse. God told Samuel. So Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, tells him, bring all your sons, present them to me. He brought the first one. As Samuel went to anoint the first one, God said, this is not the one. And mind you, when Samuel, the prophet of God, saw the first one, he says, this must be the one. Look at how he stands. Look at his look. And God said, this is not the one. Don't judge a book by the cover. Don't judge by appearances. He brought the second one again. God said, this is not the one. Third one, this is not the one. Fourth one, fifth one, sixth one, seventh one. So when they were counting for something of significance, David was not one of the ones that were counted. Did he have a say in that? No. It just so happened that he was the forgotten child. If you look at the father had seven sons. The father had sheep and goats. You can say, he's a wealthy man, right? And if you have animals, you could easily hire servants to look after the animals, right? How come it was David that was now sent to be the one to go look after the animals, knowing fully well that the dangers that you face when you do that? If you had a child, would you send your child to a place where they will have to deal with lions and bears? No, right? It's like a suicide mission for the child. And David, on the other hand, what could he have done? He could have said, I'm the youngest child. What am I doing here chasing after animals when my brothers are over in the house? I can leave this for the servants. As a matter of fact, it's the older ones that are supposed to take the bigger responsibilities. Why am I now the youngest one taking this responsibility? But he had a different response. He was diligent even in that assignment that he was given. He was found faithful even in that assignment that he was given. So that's the starting of your journey. In a godly family, that's the beginning of where you prevail. Whatever situation it is, you know, sometimes we try to run away from the situation or the circumstance in which we have found ourselves. We try to run away, but what you have to do is to embrace that situation, turn it into a place of power and authority. Amen? Amen. So this is the first thing that he did, was to take that responsibility. And if you look at the story, he told the story of how when there were lions that came to take away the sheep, it's just one sheep. It's not worth me dying for. If you want to take two, we still have the rest of the flock, right? You know, but he did what? He chased after it and rescued that sheep. And if the lion or the bear tried to come for him, he killed the lion or the bear. Why? Because in his obedience to that assignment he was given, he found grace. Remember, you're not the one ordering your own steps. You couldn't control what family you were born into, right? You couldn't control what situation you were born into. So it means that from the day you were born, from the day you came out, you were already walking in purpose. God already placed you where he wanted you to be. So instead of complaining or trying to run away, why not be diligent and face the task in front of you? Because guess what? Even though he was not counted among anything of significance, when his seven brothers were presented, he was not even mentioned. They said, bring all your sons. Jesse brought all of them. All of them. Save one, the forgotten one. Right? Let's read again. 1 Samuel 16, verse 10. So it says, in the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. 11. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? Now, since all the ones of significance, or so he thought, has been presented and it was all rejected. Now he remembers, oh, this, but it couldn't possibly be, right? So there is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. Everybody were at a standstill waiting for the forgotten one. Again, you men have not been able to choose. But your attitude, how you react, how you challenge what has been presented to you that you had no say in, will determine where you are going. Because guess what? The person that has put you in there knows you are there. He knows you are there. And he will come find you where you are. Because he placed you there. Next verse. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. Why would you want to waste something like this? And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. Who is the one? The one that took care of his responsibility faithfully, like his life depended on it. You know, the scripture says that do what you do without complaining. Do your work diligently without complaining or murmuring. Why? Because what has been presented to you is for a purpose. And the moment you tackle it with everything you have, you are going to the next level. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, that's the first one. What he has been, his situation, where he was born into. All right? He was able to rise above that because of his attitude. The next one we are going to look at is the things that you hear. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. We'll read from 28 to 37. It's a little bit of a longer verse. But in here, we will read the importance of the things that you hear and also the things that you say. There are two very important things there. So 28. So a little backstory. Time of war. Philistines versus the Israelites. Philistines brought their champion, Goliath, giant, big guy. So they decided, instead of us to clash, so many casualties, why not we bring our best warrior? You bring your best warrior. They will fight. Whoever wins becomes the master of the other. The other people become slaves. Right? So the Philistines brought their best warrior, and Saul described him as he's been a champion since the days of his youth. So this guy was gifted with the gift of slaughtering, and he was blessed with the form for it as well. He was a giant. So whenever he stood forward and roared, the people of Israel ran away. They all cowered. So David heard about this and went to visit, right? So this, which brings us here. So he's asking, so what exactly is the price for whoever slays this giant? Because guess what? When the people heard Goliath roar, they ran, right? But when David heard Goliath roar, he went forward. Why? In the face of a situation, one person saw a problem. Another person saw purpose. I'll say it again. In the place of a situation, a troubling situation, one person saw a problem and ran away. Another person saw a purpose and moved forward. From what they heard a roar. So, when he moved forward, he was asking the soldier, so what is the price for whoever defeats this guy? Mind you, at this time, David is still a youth. So 28 says, but when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the man, he was angry. Listen to what his older brother says. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. Is it a surprise that this is how they talk to him? Remember, he was the forgotten one. He was left in the field with the animals. And is this a surprise that this is how they regard him? You're supposed to be taking care of the sheep. Guess what? Sometimes in that situation, in that family that you have been placed in, that you had no say. You know, because you can choose your friends. You can have a say as far as who your friend is. But in that family, sometimes that you have been placed in and you have no say, there are those who will talk badly of you, mistreat you, call you nothing, take you for granted, and saw the purpose that you have been given will not value you. It can happen. It can happen. We see it happening here. He had no say. You can say, well, I'm the one that, if he was your friend, you say, I'm the one that chose this friend. I better cut ties. I better watch who I relate with. He had no say. He was born into that family. These are your brothers. These are your parents. He was the last. So he came when the picture was already complete. In fact, he was the completion of the picture. You're the last to arrive. Let me introduce you to everybody else. This is your father, your mother, your seven brothers. Right? And this is the kind of treatment he's receiving. But guess what? Go to the next verse. What have I done now? David replied. I was only asking a question. Right? Next verse. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. He asked them, what is the price for defeating this guy? So he didn't let what he was hearing distract him. He didn't let what he had his mind focused on his purpose. He understood what that purpose was. You know? So in our journey, don't let what people are saying distract you or discourage you. Say, okay, let me leave it to them. He could have decided, well, because he knew what he carried. Amen? He knew what he carried. He knew his purpose. What was his purpose? Well, if you ask, what is his purpose? Everybody's purpose is very similar. Our purpose is the same. What is it? Service. You know, you are born to help somebody else, to do something for people. It could be one person. It could be a million people, right? How you manifest that purpose now is what differentiates you from one person to the other. It could be in providing jobs. It could be in providing shelter, financial, entertainment, whatever it is, but you are serving. But what differentiates people now is how, but it's the same, serving, right? So if you look at his journey, how you can find out his purpose, where they put him in, he took that assignment. He was looking after sheep and goats. And when trouble came, he did what? He delivered. So he already understood, I'm a deliverer. When there is a problem that requires people to be delivered, that is my area. That is what I have been blessed with. That is what I have been gifted with. So as big as Goliath was, he wasn't looking at his size. He was just looking at an opportunity for him to manifest his gift. He was just looking, amen, amen, glory to God, glory to God. He was just looking for an opportunity to manifest his gifts while other people were running, amen? So you have to know what that purpose is. Well, you can, some people say, well, I don't know, how can I find out? Well, whatever, if you don't know yet, whatever assignment has been put in front of you, tackle it. That gift is what that will bring you out. You can look back at the ones that you have done already and see how you were of solution. Because guess what? Scripture says it's not by power or by might, but my spirit says the Lord. Let me tell you two funny stories. I'm also watching the time. Y'all know it's basketball season, right? Does anybody follow basketball? Hey. How do y'all feel about what's going on right now? Glory to God, right? So during this season, there are two people that I saw, they made a statement, and I say, okay, I'll watch them. Y'all know LeBron James. So during the preseason, before the playoffs began, the Lakers, he plays for the Lakers, they weren't doing so good, you know. And then he sent out a post when it was getting close to playoff time. What was in his post? He wrote, playoffs mode activated. When he wrote it, everybody was excited. Yeah, finally we get to see the king in action. He didn't go nowhere. He did not go nowhere. They didn't make it to the playoffs. It's not, mind you, see, people that don't have nothing to brag about will not brag. So if you know his story, he has been to 8 straight, not just the playoffs, but the finals straight. So when he makes a claim like that, you would think, okay, he has something to base the claim off of. But scripture says it's not by power or by might, but by my spirit. Says the, who is saying? God is telling you that whatever it is, not by your power. It is by me, and I am telling you. There's another person. This one just happened recently. Giannis. Hey, you know. Giannis. So they get to the finals, the conference finals, not the NBA finals, the conference finals, playing against the Raptors. First two games, they smoke the Raptors. Third game, the Raptors beat them. And then he sent out a statement. He said, when something like this happens, you will see how we respond. Watch for game 4. What was his response? They went ahead to lose the rest of the other games. They were ahead too and lost 4 straight. He's not, and he's a contender for MVP. He's a contender for MVP. So when God says it's not by power or by might, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. David understood this. How do I know he understood this? Let's keep reading. Verse 31. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Next verse. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I will go fight him. No fear. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. He has experience in taking care of people stronger than you. So, but David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. If he starts this story, you would think he's joking. You think he's joking. We are talking about war. Real human beings. Weapons. Life and death. You are telling me about sheep and goats. The task before you is not insignificant. No matter how small you think it is, or how it's not insignificant. It's not insignificant. It's the same gift that helps you with goats and sheep, that helps you in war. In war. It's not insignificant. Don't say, oh, this one is below me. Right? Because guess what? It's not even you. By my spirit. Next verse. Well, go back one. We didn't finish that one. Please. 34. So, and he said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, next, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I have some experience in this slaughtering thing you're talking about. Even though it's not on the big stage, it's hidden where no one could see it. I have done this to both lions and bears. What did he say? Lions. And bears. It wasn't one that you would call it, maybe he locked out. His faith had been strengthened time and time again. In the field where no one could see him, where he was forgotten, his faith had been strengthened there. Victory after victory. So when he walked out now, homeboy was ready. He had been prepared. Those small tasks, those circumstances that you think are so unfortunate, you know, I could deserve better than this. That's what prepares you for the bigger ones. Amen. Godly family from a child's perspective. Remember, you've got no choice. That's your perspective. You didn't have a choice. But guess what? What you do with what has been presented in front of you is what makes the difference. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this to this person, this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Next, the Lord who rescued me. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said. And may the Lord, what do we have to lose? None of my boys will stand up and go anywhere. You know, you don't have kids or a wife, so nobody will mourn for you. May the Lord be with you, sir. But we know how that story ended. Amen. Because guess what? When they saw fear, he saw purpose. He saw purpose. So, what you hear, what you hear. Are you hearing fear? Are you hearing defeat? Or are you hearing victory and purpose? Amen. And the scripture says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you know, that goes very far. You know, the reason why positive affirmations work is because the more you say it, guess what? The more you hear it, and the more it sinks in, and the more you become like what you... Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So whatever you think of yourself, that determines the altitude. You have to change the way you think. You have to change the way you think about yourself. That will change the way you speak. And it's very important to speak as well. It's very important to speak. If you look at, the scripture says the power of life and death. It says life and death lies in the power of your own tongue. And God demonstrated this for us. That's why I love God so much. He doesn't just say, he puts his money where his mouth is. He walks the walk. Can I say walk the walk? He walks the walk. All of creation, when he made creation, everything that he created, what was it? How did he do it? He spoke. He spoke. And we realized later on in the book of John 1 that the word he spoke is Jesus himself. That was the power of his word. That was Jesus. And Jesus also demonstrated it to us. Sometimes we think it's only things with ears that can hear. Do you know that everything can hear and respond to words? Jesus walked up and saw a fig tree. It wasn't even his season, so it had no fruits. And he told the fig tree, nobody will eat from you again. They came back, and the fig tree had withered and died. The fig tree heard word. He heard word. How could Jesus confidently speak that word? He believed that there was power in his words. Your thoughts. Your thoughts. And guess what he says? That if you say to this mountain, if you believe and you say to this mountain, move. Mountain will move. Many people think that that was metaphoric. When he calmed the sea, what did he? How did he do it? He said, peace be still. The waters all calmed down. It wasn't metaphoric. His disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the seas obey power in words? Are you using your word to build life or are you using it to destroy? Are you using your words to build yourself? Or are you using it to destroy yourself? There is power. Power in your words. Speak life. Remember, you didn't have a choice. Right? So why waste your time downing yourself, feeling sorry for yourself? Speak life. Are things already a mess? Okay. Start speaking life. As long as there is life, there is hope. Parents, speak life into your children. I always say I'm a product of the prayers that my mom has been praying. There are so many times that I have been walking down the road of waywardness, and it just will not work. There was one time my friend and I, we went out, we came back home, we're like, wow, today was wasted. My mom must be praying. Right? It works. You know, and it was intentional because we knew better, right? And we were still walking down the road of waywardness and our plans failed. We came back alone, empty-handed. Yeah, all the boys are laughing. You people know what I'm talking about. And I'm laughing. He, 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 he. You will come back empty-handed too. Amen. Amen. So it works. It works. It works. Pray for your children. Speak life into them. Pray for yourself. Speak life into yourself. Even the principle of salvation works the same way. He who believes in his heart, where you think you have faith, and confesses with his mouth. Say it out loud. There's a difference when you pray in your heart and when you say it out loud. When you say it out loud, you feel power. You feel bolder. When you say it in your mind, there's other thoughts that can be mixed in there somewhere. But when you say it out loud, it's clearer. Somebody say there is power. There is power. There is power. So, that is for the things we hear. The things we see. Praise the Lord, somebody. You have to pray. You know, if you don't know it, you have to pray that God opens your eyes to be able to see these things. Most times, people recognize opportunity when it has already passed by. You know, because when it's over, if you were afraid before, there's no cause of fear anymore, right? So then you're able to think clearly, and then you can see the opportunity that was in the middle of your fear and your hesitation. So we have to pray. As David saw Goliath and he saw an opportunity, let God open our eyes that when we see trouble, we see opportunity. Because guess what? You are not going to run into a path of trouble that you have not been prepared for. Remember where you started. Somebody formed you together and put you somewhere. Where he has put you, there is a path he has already made for you. So as you are walking down the path he has made for you, the problems that comes, he has given you solutions already to conquer. How do I know this? Scripture says that the thoughts I have towards you are of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Proverbs says that, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct your path. He will lead you down the road that he has already given you victory over. That is where your confidence comes from. That whatever trouble as he has come in front of you, is an opportunity to manifest purpose. So now that we know these things and we learn to apply it, the second point is to be an example. Be an example. Whatever it is that you experience that you do not like, don't put another person through it. Whatever great things that you experienced, show somebody else. Advise somebody else. Remember, our purpose is one and the same, to help, to serve. Show somebody else. Somebody may say, well, I'm glad that you're saying this, Charles, but for me, I've already messed everything up, the purpose and whatnot that you're talking about. I've scattered it. Happens. That's why I love the story of David. He's also one that messed up big time. There's something very important. When you come to that realization, you repent. You learn from that mistake. And you move. Don't let that be the end. Because when you mess up, bad things do happen. Bad things can happen. For him, he was mourning, praying, because the son that he had out of his mess up, was sick and I was about to die. And at the end of the day, the son died. And his officials were too afraid to break the news to him. Say, while the son was sick and alive, he wouldn't eat. If we tell him now that the son is dead, he will just kill himself. But when they delivered the news, he got up, went and ate. When the mess up happens, repent, get back up, and keep moving. Keep moving. Mistakes do happen, but that's not the end of your story. Mess ups do happen, but that's not the end of your story. Get up. Rise above. Rise above. Let us rise. I just want us to pray this morning. Think about the words that God has delivered to you this morning. Is there a part? Is there one or two or more that applies to you? Pray that this word, that you hold on to it, that it doesn't leave you. Pray that God gives you the grace to rise above it. Pray that God opens your eyes, your heart, your ears, to understand the purpose that he has for you. Because a godly family in the path of a child is to understand that even though you cannot control, you didn't decide on where you came to or where you appeared, but to understand that somebody put you there and he is with you. The scripture says he will never leave you or forsake you. He is there with you and he's walking with you. So pray that God gives you the grace to not give up, to be diligent in that work, so that his glory and his purpose will be made manifest. Pray for a heart like that of David. That God give me a heart to not hold things against people or let people drag me down, but give me a heart that can stay focused on course. Give me a heart of repentance. I tell you, one thing that sorrowed God over Saul so much was that Saul was unrepentant. Whenever he messes up, he's like, let's keep moving, you know, nothing wrong, nothing happened. And the same reason is why God says that David is a man after his own heart. Because before David moves, he consults with God. And when he messes up, he goes back to God. He's the one that sings the song that take not your Holy Spirit from me and restore the joy of your salvation. Why? Because he repented at that moment. So pray for a heart to be able to repent, turn away, get back up. And lastly, pray for boldness. Boldness to be able to see problems as purpose. Boldness to be able to walk through it. Lord God Almighty, we, your children, we have come this morning. We have received your word. Father, we ask that this word be made alive in us in the name of Jesus. That from this point on, we will live differently, we will live greater. We will live in your purpose. We will walk in the new direction that you have made for us. We will walk into the next level because we believe that all this we have asked, you have granted. You have given us the spirit of boldness. You have opened our eyes. You have renewed our mind. And we now understand that what we have is not in us, but in you. And you have put it in us. The power, the strength, the grace to overcome is through you, and we receive that right now in the name of Jesus, and we begin to walk in it in the name of Jesus. We begin to step in into the new levels, into our your expectations of us, into our destiny, into our purpose. We will not live this life and come out empty, but we will live and be fulfilled in you. We believe and we say thank you. Thank you for everything, O Lord God. For we believe that all things, as your scripture says, all things work together. We glorify your name, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody lift up a mighty hallelujah.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.